I have Laura Betterly here. She is the founder of Yada Yada Marketing, among many other businesses. And not to take anything away from you, Laura, so can you kind of talk about your background? I was looking over your website, and it was incredibly impressive, so I just wanted you to kind of talk about some of the more notable things you've done.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, I'm not great as my own commercial. I do so much better for other people, but... I've been marketing on the internet since the 90s, which kind of makes me a dinosaur, because there's a lot of new guys on the horizon. But back in the 90s, what I did was I started a company that developed software for DJs, and it was really the first dual MP3 player ever, and it was pretty cool because we got to, you know, tour the world with rock stars and show that you can use a computer to make music, which now everybody knows can be done. But back then, people were like, what are you talking about? And we had like 9 million downloads, and that was pretty cool. And, you know, and then it got pretty corporate. I'm kind of bohemian, so I don't necessarily, you know, do the whole, you know, investor corporate thing well. And I went off on my own and actually did email marketing. And the reason why I decided that that was the smartest thing to do was when I looked at the sources of income from PC DJ, I found that we actually made more money on the newsletter than we actually did in selling software, interestingly enough, because people who liked, you know, DJ software also liked, you know, Karma Loop stuff and snowboards and, you know, mixtapes and on and on and on. So, you know, I was able to leverage and I had ended up with a pretty large email list. And that was before the days of canned spam. So we were sending out, you know, fairly untargeted emails and doing okay. We found over time that, you know, because of blocking and filtering and everything else, that the thing to do was not to do, you know, broad untargeted emails. And we started to develop for ourselves and our clients smaller, very, very targeted lists of people who were interested and things that we could add value to them as part of a sales process. So that was very good to us. And in 2002, we realized, you know, we needed other traffic generation methods. And so we became certified for Google AdWords. In fact, we were one of the first 100 to get through that whole vetting process and get the certification. And we've been doing that ever since. You know, beyond that, you know, we work on, you know, websites and conversions and figuring out, you know, people's, you know, calls to action. And I have some fairly notable clients that if anyone's in the internet marketing space would know, I'm published by Ryan Dice. I have two courses, one called Mobile Local Fusion and the other one is called Instant Local Traffic. And, you know, we work with Russell Brunson and John Reese and, you know, some really interestingly fun gurus. And, you know, I mean, we're kind of all about, you know, how do you bring your product to market? How do you know if you've got a product that's even worth putting the time and effort into, et cetera, and so on. And we have fun with it. So does that answer the question well enough?
Definitely. Yeah. You know what you're doing and you can tell just by looking at the stuff that you have on your website. And then also at Underground, you definitely knew your stuff. I was very impressed. And so say I'm a company that I've just came up with a product and I'm ready to launch. I have my website in place and I'm looking to start marketing that product or that website. What do you recommend startups do, like the first couple steps in the marketing process?
Well, actually, if you already have your product built and you already have your website built, you've already passed those first couple of steps. I'm gonna pull it back a couple of steps further, if you don't mind, because I have a fairly old school viewpoint on products and marketing. Although there's a lot of cool new technology that's out that takes a lot of time out of it and makes it easier to figure out what's what. There are things that you need to know really, really well before you build your website, before you start? I mean, really, I mean, of course, if you already have it built, then you do these steps and incorporate what you learn. But having, knowing your market research and knowing who your competitors are, knowing what they spend on their marketing, what their websites have, what are their price points, okay? What makes you different than that? Where, you know, if you're going to go against, you know, if you're going to go against Procter and Gamble, you better have a really, really big budget, and you better have a really good spin that could go viral, or you're going to waste your time and you're going to waste your money and you're going to feel lousy. So the real art is to figure out with your product, is this something that's going to catch fire? And if so, how do you go about going against your competitors or creating your market? And there's a lot of things that go into that. But one of the things that we use is a site called Keyword Spy, and it is a paid for service. But if you put in a keyword or you put in one of your competitors, it gives you a lot of information about it. It tells you who your top competitors are. It gives you their websites. It tells you how much they're paying for, let's say, Google AdWords. It'll tell you what keywords they're actually ranking for on Google, because, you know, you have many different ways of getting traffic to your site. I mean, it's, if you have a site, you're in competition with 40 million other sites. What are you going to do so that actually Google shows it on occasion so that somebody will jump in and actually fill out your lead form, right? I mean, you know, I mean, so you've got to have that basic, you know, market research done. And then you have to build based on what you see is working in the market and what would make you differentiate yourself. And make sure you have a smart lead magnet. You know, people are getting 1,500 marketing messages a day. And if you're going to cut through on that, then you better have something that's, you know, really needed and wanted, really unique, or, you know, or a different spin on it. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's never about you as the business owner and your product. It's actually about your consumer. What can you do for your consumer? What can you do for your target audience that's going to help them the most? And so you have to be able to communicate why that, you know, that thing, that ebook or that widget or whatever is the thing that's going to solve the pain point that your target market has. Autoresponders are great, as you know, and they can warm up a list that you have already, or they can keep the engagement going. But, you know, you can't keep hitting guys over the head with the same crap over and over again without adding value, because they have one huge, they actually have two defenses that they have against that they can use against you. One is the unsubscribe link, and the other is their spam folder. So you got to make sure that when you're going to go ahead and you put in that effort to write those really good emails and to put this, that, and the other, that you really deliver what they want, so that when they see an email with your name on it, they're salivating to open it up and say, well, what did he have to say? You know, I mean, look, you know, I mean, I'm published by Ryan Dice, and Ryan's a friend of mine. I still open up all his emails because he always says smart stuff. You know what I mean? So I mean, it's just a viewpoint shift, because, you know, although we're in the game of persuasion, we're really more so the way to persuade somebody is to actually be an authority. And the only way you're going to be authority is by giving them something. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. So how do you think that people like Ryan actually keep subscribers for so long? Like, how do you come up with fresh, good content consistently when there's all this content all over the internet? Like, how do you find something that keeps people coming back?
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, keep in mind that there's a ton of stuff out there that, you know, and there's tons of changes happening, right? You know, and Ryan's one example. But, you know, I could have 50 guys on my list who've never even heard of Ryan. And so, you know, I look at all the really smart guys and what they're doing and the programs that they're pushing. I'm also very, very involved in social media. I have my two fan pages. And I'll tell you, some of my guys are smart. They're always posting articles on the newest changes and whatnot. And I have this program that I use. It's called Read It Later. It's free. And it basically allows you to tag an article if you don't have time to read it. And then what happens is when I do my newsletters, I open up my read it later and I look at all these different things and I see which ones work and which ones don't. And I talk about those things. The other thing that's very important is, depending on what your area of expertise is have a feed reader and actually pull in RSS feeds on news items that have to do with your industry and what you're dealing with. Because if you really want the most bleeding edge information and how that relates to your product and how you can help your subscribers, is to look and find all that new stuff. So and if you're smart about it, you'll then get people like I have now who send me stuff. So now not only do I have my RSS feeds, you know, and my little competitive intelligence I do on my, on other gurus, but I also, am looking at like what's the breaking news, and you can just use a hashtag on Twitter and find a whole ton of stuff. I mean, there's a ton of, and there's always new stuff. I mean, God, every day there's a new website launching the coolest app that's going to change your life. So, for what I do, I almost have information overload. It's very, very hard not to find news. You know what I mean?
Right.
And there you go.
All right. So kind of backing it up a little bit to getting people to your site. And you talked a little bit about SEO. Well, that was basically what you talked about at the Underground Conference, was you were on the SEO panel. So I was just wondering if you could just share some of those tips.
Wow. Okay. Well, SEO has been changing. And in the last couple of weeks, it's actually changed even more. First of all, before you start any SEO campaign, the first thing you would want to do is some keyword research, and you want to find high quality keywords that seem to have some commercial intent, meaning they're not looky-loo keywords. They're more, people ready to buy keywords. And you have to look at your site versus the competitor. And if you look at your site, if you use a program like Market Samurai, or you even look like SEO Quake on your, like on a Firefox toolbar, you're going to see how many links they have. You're going to see their page rank, which is a value of 0 through 10 on how strong the website is. You're going to see things about it, and you're going to see, is that something I can win? Now, if it isn't, then just put it to the side until you get your site a little stronger and keep going to longer keyword phrases that you could rank on. And you can take a look at Google. Actually, has Google AdWords has a keyword tool that's free, and it'll look at your website and look at your pages, and it'll suggest what keywords are actually applicable for that. So you can start doing that by releasing some articles, maybe some images that you have. Make sure that you tag them towards your website. This new site, Pinterest, is really helping SEO. We've been doing a lot of tests on it. That's a new social sharing site that has that's images only. So people have they pin images off of web pages, and people repin them and whatnot like that. But the thing that's really hugely changed in SEO, especially in this last little bit of time, is social signals. Social signals are things like Facebook likes, there are things like Google Pluses. Right, the Google Plus. And in fact, Google's really carrying Google Plus way more weight than Facebook or Twitter. Of course, they're a monopoly, and that's how they're playing the game. And they're forcing people who are interested in actually keeping their search engine rankings high to get involved in Google Plus. And I think it's a great social network, but I think it kind of stinks that you got to have a Facebook like and a Google Plus and a this and a that. It's just, it's like how many social networks do we need to be involved in, Crystal? You know what I mean? It's like, oh my God. But Google really has come out and said that social signals are a big difference. So one of the things I did when I was starting Yada, because I had another company before then that, the one that did all the email marketing and whatnot. We had taken that public and then shut it down in 07, and I started Yada on a shoestring budget. And so I didn't want to buy traffic. I started to figure out how I could use social media to drive my first little bit of traffic and some and get some, you know. So I mean, I always had a lot of friends and I had some contacts. So, you know, Business Week has a social exchange, an exchange. So if you've got some cool content, you can surely share it on the Business Week BX exchange, Facebook, Twitter, you know, any fan pages you have. But remember, social media is social. So don't start shoving your post down everybody's throat. Social media has a lot to do with sharing. So for every one self-serving, you know, post that helps you make money, make sure that you've got like 8 or 9 really cool things that you've either shared or made people laugh at, or they'll just stop listening and tuning out. So, and you can do a lot of things on Facebook, and you've got, you can drive traffic using Google AdWords. You can drive traffic using Facebook ads to start. And because SEO is a long-term strategy, you're not going to do a few things on SEO today and see it raise to number one tomorrow. So while you work on your SEO strategy, you have to have other ways or other means of driving traffic.
So getting this traffic turned into subscribers and people that follow you regularly, do you think it's a good idea to have an incentive be something like an actual ebook or video or some kind of bonus? Or do you think you should try and do more of a sale on the actual content they'll be receiving by following you and by subscribing?
Well, you know what? I mean, here's the thing. If you go directly for the sale and you lose the guy, you never get him. You know what I mean? There's no recovering from that. You know, at the same time, you know, I think that there's certain lead magnets that are getting kind of played out. You know, I mean, it's like, how many people want to still have an ebook on social media? You know, I mean, I'm just like, you know, yawn, you know, because I could Google social media and get more information that would be in that. So, you know, you got to craft your lead magnet in a way. Now, here's another viewpoint, you know, but the interesting thing is a subscribers list of people who have subscribed, that includes buyers or non-buyers, is not as valuable as a list of buyers. I'm going to tell you that right now. If somebody said yes to you once, even if for a dollar, they'll say yes to you again. So, you know, you and all these things I talk about, you should test. You know, throw a couple hundred visitors at the site and test this versus that. There's, you know, I mean, everything at the end of the day has to be tested and tweaked, you know, to figure out what's what. And that's why guys like, you know, Ryan are so successful, because they have a team that just looks at analytics and looks at what works and what doesn't. But I will tell you, the prevailing viewpoint is, even if you sell something for $1 or $7, let's take that lead magnet and make it more valuable, because it really is. And then you now have, you know, a piddly amount of sales, but you have a list of buyers who have said yes to you once and probably will say yes to you again. But again, you know, this is your business, guys, right? You're the CEO of your domain, and you can test and you can do. You don't have to ask me or anyone else what to do. If you have an idea, test it. It might fail. So what? It might be gangbusters, and you might be the next number one guru. Who knows? The only way you're going to know is by doing it. So, you know, I wouldn't get too careful, because a lot of times I find with my students, they get so careful. They have to have the right business card and the right page and the right this and the right that. And I guarantee they make no money while they're doing that, okay? Because it's never going to be 100% right. You just throw some stuff at the wall. You see what sticks. If that sticks, good. You take that and you prove on it. If it doesn't, you go back to the drawing board. It's an action-based business. You just have to be active. You have to just keep trying. And you don't need me or anyone else to make your decisions for you. You got to go into your gut and say, you know, what makes sense to do based on my market? And test it. Like I said, the worst thing that'll happen is it won't work. The best thing that'll happen is it will. So, but if you don't do it, it definitely won't happen. So, You know, that's, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get on my soapbox on that, but it's, yeah, but there you go.
And kind of along the same lines, we've touched on this a little bit, throughout this conversation. What are the biggest mistakes that you see with people beginning their email marketing or marketing in general?
Well, I think the biggest mistakes are, again, lack of the correct research. And the other thing is kind of an ego thing. I got to tell you, some people get so personally attached to what they are doing that they lose the ability to see what's really happening. So if something is not working, they don't have the ability to say, okay, let me try something else. They keep trying to solve the same problem with the same answer, which is not working. So, you know, you really have to take a look and you might have to test a whole bunch of stuff. Sometimes you'll hit it out of the park the first time, but I'm going to be honest with you. I've launched hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of websites, and I increased the chances of success because of the market research that we put into it and whatnot. But, you know, you really have to, you have to really be able to call it one way or another and see what's what. The other thing that I think is a big mistake that a lot of people, you know, have in that regard, and it's more of the same stuff, is that, you know, they have an inability to see that maybe they need to change stuff. So, you know, be willing to have any result, because remember, at the end of the day, what we're doing is actually kind of fun. So let's look at it as a game. You know what I mean? And it's like we're either winning the game or we're losing the game. If we're losing the game, we change the tactics or the strategy. And when we're winning, we just put the pedal to the metal. And if we won every game, it would be really darn boring. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, I would be bored as hell if I didn't fail every once in a while on stuff. You know? So get that this is so much fun if you put in the time and the effort, and again, you know, you're willing to not be arrogant on it. And again, I don't mean to you know, if you feel I'm talking about you, I'm not meaning it personally. I just mean it from a viewpoint of watching a lot of guys who think, you know, I mean, you know, I get leads in, and you know, the guys will send me to a website that looks like it was built in 1998, and it's selling a $50 ebook on something that no one's interested in, you know, but it's going to make them $1 million. It's kind of like, you know, you got to be somewhat realistic on the whole thing, and you don't want to pop the bubble, because it's good that somebody's out there. I mean, look, what we do as small business owners is fuel the American economy, right? I mean, this economy's in crappy shape for most people. It ain't so bad for me. And it ain't so bad for the people that I work with, because they are making their own game and they're not waiting to get a job from someone else, and they're in control of their environment. So, you know what we do, really in the long run, is something that I believe is helping, you know, cure what ails our country. So I'm very passionate about it for that reason.
So last question, and you mentioned how Google Plus is kind of changing the scene, even just within the last couple of weeks as far as SEO goes. But what about this year marketing in general? Do you think there's going to be any big changes elsewhere?
Well, I think the big changes is that, and this is something that Ryan has said too, and we've talked about it, is that channels are becoming more and more important. You know, the internet's being carved up. You know, you're not going to go out and start a site, you know, an auction site, because you're never going to be able to rival eBay. You know, you're never going to be able to rival Amazon. You're never going to be able to rival YouTube. You're never going to be able to rival, you know what I'm saying? So I think that in addition to social, I think that the leverage of these channels need to be looked at. For example, if you're going to self-publish a book, you'd be stupid not to publish it on Amazon. because all you'd have to do is make sure that the title of your book had the keyword that you wanted to show up on and that it was part of the description. And then all you would have to do is link building to that Amazon page, because that Amazon site, Amazon is already an authority site. If you put a little bit of attention on that page, which then is for you and your product, it'll rise to the top of the search results. Yeah. I mean, Barnes & Noble doesn't know how to do that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I mean, most of the real publishers don't know how to do that, but we're kind of ninja. We're like, we'll be number one for business book and we'll do it. And, but so that's the other thing is it's like when you're being realistic on your niche or how you're going to do something, you know, maybe it's not through your own website. I mean, you can do a Kindle book, right? And in your Kindle book, you can put links to your website or for additional content. So you can almost give your Kindle book away for a buck. And if they want the additional thing, that you can send them to a page that gets them in your autoresponder. You know what I mean? So, and that's another lead magnet. So these are things that, but I think that's the big takeaway for this year is, you know, mobile is huge. I mean, I've been saying mobile is huge for a long time. You know, make sure that all the content that you have is mobile enabled, because over 50% of all people accessing their social media is all through mobile, and you know, and leveraging the channels and the authorities, these things will allow the David and Goliath effect and allow us to, you know, rise above everything.